This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You, Jay,
it's Ian.
The number 603-283-6160. It's 603-283-6160. And you can bring up whatever you'd like. Right now we're talking about this, article, declaration, white paper, I'm not sure what to call it, essay.
Fear-mongering report.
This report coming from Granite State Matters.
It's written by one woman, Jeannie Deitch. She's the founder of Granite State Matters, and as far as I know, she's the only person involved in Granite State Matters. But maybe she's got some friends, I don't know. But everything's got her name on it, basically.
I'm sure she's got friends, yeah. And maybe she's got some people that she works with to proofread some things and stuff like that. But this is a way to, tried and true way to make yourself look more important is to create yourself a little organization.
It's articles like this that really encourage people to move to New Hampshire. Because the fact is that it shows that the Free State Project is having an effect. The things are happening. I like to send these to my mom because I'm trying to get my mom to move out here. If you're listening, mom, and because she's a great grandma. But anyways, she's also 3,000 miles away. But anyways, I send articles to a whole bunch of people, and they're like, "Oh man, you're tempting me. I got like friends in New York, friends in Massachusetts." I'm like, "Oh, so you don't think the Free State Project's doing anything, huh? You don't think this Liberty thing? Look at all the effort they're putting into combating it now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Look at all this nonsense."
When's the last time the Libertarian Party anywhere outside of New Hampshire has had a 24-page report written about its activities?
Right. Or even
a 4-page report, or even a 1-page, or even a news article written about it.
The breathless declarations that go within it, too. Like, "Oh, if we don't do something, this will happen." Let me ask you this, Jay. So let's say you're concerned Democrat in the state of New Hampshire, and it's kind of tough being a Democrat in the state of New Hampshire.
How old am I? I think that makes a huge difference. Was I programmed by the internet? So am I 30 or am I 60? Because you talk to those Democrats, they're two totally different people.
Let's talk about both of them,
okay,
frankly. But we'll start with 60. You're a 60-year-old Democrat. You're sitting here in the state of New Hampshire. You know that, well, it's really hard to win elections in most districts in New Hampshire. The New Hampshire House has been largely, throughout its history, Republican, and largely even in its recent history, Republican. There's been some instances where it's Democrat. Didn't get much done, but nonetheless, it was heartening to you. What would your best advice as, you know, sort of a free stater advising this Democrat, what would your best advice be to how to live a healthy and fulfilling life? Like, what are you going to do?
So how should a 60-year-old live a healthy and fulfilling life?
Democrat, yep.
Democrat. Well, I mean, you know, is he just planning on collecting Social Security and, you know, that's what he's going to do? You know, some of these guys got like all kinds of annuities.
There's a lot of retirees, they're done with their job. They want to live in the cool mountain air or whatever.
I might encourage them to move down south somewhere where it's warm, North Carolina or something, you know, big, heavy, you know, South Carolina.
It's the only solution I have for them, which is, you know, like, think about it. Because these libertarians, they're moving where they want to move so they can have more political power. And it's not like this hasn't been the effect of pretty much every other state. Every other state has either a Democrat or a Republican majority. There's a few purple states out there. And, you know, why shouldn't you, as a voter, why shouldn't you pick a state that agrees with your value? Pick the state that agrees most with your values and move there.
Well, and the thing is, but even like, you know, to digress a little bit, like, you look at any state. New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Colorado, New Hampshire. The Democrat stuff, the hardcore Democrat things, is all in the population areas. It's all in the cities. You get outside of any city, anywhere. I mean, Chicago's hardcore Democrat, and
the rest of Illinois isn't.
Right. You go. It's the rest of the state is red. It's a bunch of farmers, and most of them are Republican welfare whores, as far as I'm concerned, because they're all growing that, you know,
they might as well
Monsanto gold that they're getting subsidized. And if you look at, like, you know, everything that these, you know, Democrat policies are about subsidizing, they're like, they really want to subsidize a single mom. So we've had an explosion of single moms since single moms have been getting subsidized.
Yeah. Anything that you subsidize is going to grow, right?
Yep. So if you subsidize poor people, you will get more poor people.
If you want married couples, which, by the way, is the, you know, the single most the single best predictor of success for your kids.
Yep.
If you want married couples, you should subsidize married couples.
Yeah, because if we look at some of these facts of kids raised by a single parent, something like 90% of the prison population or 95% of the prison population, what do they have in common? They're raised by just their mom.
Yeah.
If you are raised by a single parent and 85% of kids is raised by just mom, you are like 80% more likely to go to prison, 80% more likely to have some kind of substance abuse thing. It's like, to be homeless, all this. It's insane how
it's
destructive.
It's indisputable.
Yes.
If you start looking at these numbers.
Like, I guarantee you, though, if you start subsidizing marriage, you will start destroying those marriages.
Well, the thing is to not subsidize.
I don't know. No one's ever done it.
To not subsidize anything, and just let, you know, nature choose its course, let the free market do its thing.
That's the dirty little part of this is that, you know, marriage is a system that works. It's a system where, well, you know, if you don't subsidize anything, women are going to sink out men, and they're going to get married, and they're going to settle down, and, you know, whatever variety. Like, there's all kinds of stuff you can look at. Just look at welfare and what it's done to families in urban areas, and it ain't pretty.
And if you look at these moms that, you know, are single, have one kid, man, I couldn't imagine being a single mom having one kid, and I get, you know, got to work, got to find childcare. Some of them got four kids. Some of them got three kids. I mean, that is like, there is no way they can do it without some kind of assistance, because
in a lot of cases, they wouldn't have so many kids if it wasn't for the little bit of extra money that they get. Having two kids isn't as much work, isn't double the work that one kid is.
Right.
Three kids isn't triple the work of one kid.
It's just like feeding pigs or feeding chickens or anything else. You know, you still got to grab the bucket of grain and walk over to that pig pen every day, and it doesn't matter if it's one pig or five pigs.
Right. And but the amount of, you know, money that one gets from the government, if you're good at doing it, if you've learned the little tricks, the amount of money that there is to getting from the government does double and triple with two and three kids.
And there's a hardcore incentive to keep a man out of their life, because I don't know about New Hampshire in particular, but definitely the way it works in New York City, and I just listened to a thing about this on the Patrick Bet David show the other day. He was talking about how if a woman is single and the dad's not in the picture, she's going to get, you know, $3,000 a month or something, welfare benefits accumulated, whatever. But if she's married, all of a sudden, she might get, like, something like $800 a month. So she's basically being paid, like, $2,200 a month, and that might not be the correct number.
Yeah.
Essentially, to be single is the incentive.
Right. And why not at that point get a divorce? And then when you don't have the legal restrictions that are in place, you're more likely that the couple breaks up, and, you know, it just goes on.
All right. So more from this report on this. This started with a bunch of fear mongering about scary things that have allegedly happened here. And it says,
before you go on with the report, will you tell me about Dash?
Sure, we can do that too. So Free Talk Live is brought to you this hour by Dash. It is digital cash. It's cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases. But Dash, of course, continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace for people that actually want to buy and sell. Dash is a great option for that because it's got, from a technical standpoint, irreversible transactions. Its network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their Chainlocks technology, and there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering your Dash transaction complete. So it's great for merchants. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. Dash is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol. If you haven't checked that one out, you might want to look into it. And in multi-crypto wallets, a lot of those have Dash. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. So the subject here of this report, 24 pages. We're certainly not going to even try to read most of this. It's rambling. It's ridiculous. But we're going to give you a taste of it with the introduction here. And maybe the conclusion. But they say this report should be a wake-up call to the dismantling of our democracy and where it will lead unless residents stop it. They say New Hampshire's small size and its large volunteer legislature facilitate takeover. Its Live Free or Die motto was also cited by Free Staters when they chose New Hampshire in 2003 to become their, quote, libertarian utopia.
Well, I mean, to be completely fair to the Free Staters, New Hampshire was rated at that time, and I can't remember the organization that was doing it, but the two guys that basically do the ratings are now employed by the Cato Institute to do this rating, as I understand this. Cato, it's sponsored by the Cato. I think it's.
I don't think that rating existed back then.
I thought it did. At that point, they weren't doing it annually. They were doing it like every few years.
Okay. You're talking about the Freedom in the 50 States study?
Right. I think that the first study was like 2005?
I don't know about that. That seems newer to me, but that's something we can look into.
Either way, with the first rating by the Freedom in the 50 States, New Hampshire came out number one at that time. So it was the freest state. That would mean that libertarians, who are largely concerned with freedom, this was rated by libertarians. Let's call it the most libertarian state. As you know, at the time. So why wouldn't they pick that?
Yeah, apparently they've had six editions of the Freedom in the 50 States, and I believe, aren't they every other year or something like that?
I don't think you can extrapolate anything from it.
Yeah, there's only been six so far, and it's 2023 right now. So even if it was every other year, that still would be 2012 or.
Well, I think I think there were larger stretches, but all right.
Let's see. Back to the story here. So a decade later, fascist and theocratic groups would target the state for similar reasons. So next headline here. How liberty...
Hold on. Which fascist and theocratic organizations targeted New Hampshire for takeover?
I don't know if she gets into that. As I said, I've only skimmed this 24-page document. But the next heading here is how, quote, liberty began replacing, quote, democracy. The idea that democracy is that people work together to create an infrastructure of rules and regulations by which they agree to be governed. Winston Churchill.
51% of the people get together to force their rules on 49%.
Winston Churchill is said to have quipped, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others.
Which I think that, like, it's a clever quip, there's no doubt about it, but it doesn't really take into account the other side of politics. So there's right and there's left, and that's fine, and so if you have democracy in a right or left scenario, you're going to have, either the right or left kind of government. But it doesn't talk about authoritarianism versus independence. Authoritarianism, a government grows. That's what Thomas Jefferson said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it grows, and its only system, its only tools are incarceration, fines, electric chairs. You know, like, that's all it does. It's an organization of force. That's all it's got.
That's correct. So he points out, or she says here, this is the person who's writing this, Jeannie Deitch, she says, common alternatives to democracy are, one, dictatorship, rule by a single authority. Two, plutocracy, rule by the wealthy under any system of government they control.
I would contend that plutocracy is the only system that has been tried. But plutocracy is simply the system where the wealthy seize the reins of powers through whatever veneer is in place.
And that's very clear what we have today. I mean, if you look at what all the, like 90% of the media is controlled by six corporations, and if you look at the, you know, how much the media just carries water for Biden, for example. Biden says these, like, gibberish statements that mean nothing. And, you know, the media is like, oh, he said this, you know, wonderful thing or whatever. And you know, and it's just like, man, you guys are like, all these guys in media, I mean, I think that there must be a Jeffrey Epstein video of them or any politician or figure that is supporting Biden, for example. And they're all just supporting, you know, just garbage politics.
Well, I mean, how many non-wealthy people are elected to federal elected positions?
How many non-wealthy people leave federal positions? I mean, they're all rich. Everybody who gets into Congress is going to be rich when they leave.
Yeah, and how do you compete if you aren't wealthy against a wealthy person? If you're running for a political office, you usually have to spend money in order to do that. So I think you make a strong argument, Mark, that this is a plutocracy.
This is a plutocracy, and everything you ever look at is a plutocracy. I mean, even a dictatorship. A dictator can't run a country by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have wealthy, powerful people to help him.
So she points out two other alternatives she claims that there exist to
having a democracy. She gets these from the, I forgot the guy's name. What's that that far-right organization that's somebody's name?
There's probably a bunch of them. I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
Three, theocracy, government by
John
divine.
John Birch Society.
She mentions them later. Government by divine guidance or by officials regarded as divinely guided. And four, anarchy or no government as seen in, quote, failed states such as Somalia and Yemen.
Okay. I have a friend, Luke Radowski, who spent some time in Somalia. And
yeah, that's right.
There was multiple governments in that occupied Somalia.
Right. They're competing.
Yes. So what you would do is you'd be walking down a city, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of these soldiers that have like different fatigues and different color flags on their arm, and then you'd walk, you know, another four or five blocks, and it's like guys from Libya, and then another couple blocks, and it's warlords from this drug gang that were financed by the U.S. And then
were they demanding fees or
no? I've just seen them in trucks.
Basically, they're just, you know, it's just competing governments, you know, militaries versus warlords kind of thing, and you know, just
this is not true anarchy. This is not the kind of place where people have chosen to have no government.
So I like to tell people, like a guy shows up today, he goes, "Oh, hey, Jay Noon, yeah, you're a conservative Christian guy." I'm like, "Well, I'm not really. I'm a non-anarchist." I told him, he's like, "Oh, I've never heard of that before." And I said, "No, well, I'm an anarchist." He goes, "Oh, you're an anarchist." I said, "Well, you know what anarchy means, right?" He's like, "Yeah, that's like that movie, The Purge, where everybody's like just killing people." And I said, "Well, how good would The Purge go in New Hampshire, where everybody has one of these?" And you know, I got a Glock on my side almost all the time. And he just starts laughing. He goes, "Yeah, there wouldn't be any, and no blood would be spilled." Right. I go, "An" means anarchy is derived from a Greek word, and archo. An means in or without, and archo means rulers. So anarchy is just without rulers. So a non-archist is someone, I don't want there to be any rulers, no rulers at all. And that's the problem, is, you know, the platform for psychopaths. So if you have gangs or drug lords or warlords running, it's not anarchy. They're just a form of violent government, is all they are. And they're probably the wealth. So it's plutocracy is all it is, because they happen to probably be the wealthiest people, and generally the people who have the most power.
Right. They can project power by hiring more people with guns. This is one of the reasons that I philosophically agree with the notion that somebody doesn't have the right to rule over me. I think the implementation gets very dicey. And that's why I believe in Spencer Heath's and Spencer McCollum's work, where they talk about private, what they call entrecomps, entrepreneurial communities, private communities where, you know, basically the homeowners association, whatever form that takes, is the one that, you know, makes sure that peace and security is provided in the given community and that sort of thing. So
that would be a voluntary association.
It's a voluntary association. Yeah.
I think the only like example of anarchy I can really look at in history, for a short time, might be the American West, where it was wild, where everybody had their six shooter on their horse, and you know, and the term was, the West wasn't as wild as, you know, you would like to think. It was actually very polite, because if you walked into a saloon and you started being an a-hole, there's a chance a half-drunk guy just might pull out his gun and shoot you. And if you start being an a-hole, there's a whole bunch of people in that saloon are going to be like, hey, buddy, either pipe down or get out of here, because a lot of people might be concerned some half-drunk guy is going to pull out his gun and pull the trigger in a crowded saloon. Yeah. So, like, antagonists and these people who, like, rile people up and stuff, that just didn't happen in, you know, an anarchist setting.
The wild aspect is more Hollywood than anything else.
Yeah, Hollywood loves that. Mm-hmm. There was a study done, a report by, you know, some academics, and basically they found that... that they took Dodge City, Antietam, you know, any variety of these old Tombstone. They took mm-hmm. these old towns. They
compared the
crime rates to modern cities. Yeah. Now, this is probably a 15-year-old study, mind you. Mm-hmm. You know, they said that it was a tenth of what New York City was, a 27th.
And we're talking per Baltimore. Capita,
yeah,
right?
Per capita, sure.
So she goes on with the fear-mongering here. New Hampshire's democracy is under attack from all four directions. So talking about it's under the attack from dictatorship, plutocracy, theocracy, and anarchy. That's her claim here. But the greatest thrust is to replace the concept of democracy with the concept of liberty. The Liberty Alliance and other libertarians believe that the majority should not be allowed to make rules that everyone needs to follow. Instead, the right of every individual to do as they please, as long as they do not harm others, is the highest goal. Now, she's pretty accurate about that, right? Every now and then, these haters, their research actually does
They just
show the truth.
Cut and paste and plop it in there, and that's true. Like, you know, for me, for instance, I always thought the biggest issue in New Hampshire was schools. You know, they got these government schools, and not to say mm-hmm. that New Hampshire schools are worse than other public schools in the United States. I'd in fact say that they were better, but... You know, that's the best-looking cow pie in the field.
Yeah, they're still indoctrinating the students into pro-government beliefs, and they cost a ton.
Yeah, fastest horse at the glue race.
Merriam-Webster describes, quote, a utopian society of individuals who enjoy complete freedom without government as anarchy. 20 years ago, the Free State Project decided they wanted to institute such a libertarian utopia in New Hampshire.
That's not what the Free State Project tried to do. But, all right.
Yeah, I don't think Jason Sorens ever referred to this as a utopian movement, the founder of the Free State Project.
Jason Sorens basically said, hey, I'd like to see libertarian candidates elected in a state. What would happen if we moved, say, half the population of the current libertarian party's roles to one small state? What would happen? And that's kind of the question. It mm-hmm. wasn't... Let's have anarchy. It was, let's pursue a government whose maximum role is the protection of life, liberty, and property.
These leftist commentators just constantly lie. And they don't even understand they're lying. I mean, there's just, you know, it's just another, you know, element of this cult that they're in.
Probably the closest any group has come to achieving a libertarian utopia is at Free Staters' annual Free State Pork Fest. In Lancaster, each June, about 2,000 Free State affiliates live in tents and RVs for a week. On private land, attendees buy, sell, imbibe, and wear as little or as much as they please. But even 5 days of togetherness makes clear the need for rules. Many parents, even libertarians, prefer their children not to be eye level with adult genitals.
Okay. You know, I mean, now we've got the same complaints that a nudist festival has.
I didn't see any adult genitals at Pork Fest this year.
Nor I didn't go. The number 603-283-6160 is 603-283-6160 here on Free Talk Live.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump's Georgia election interference trial will not happen at the same time as two others next month. On Thursday, Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee ruled that Trump's case, along with those of 16 other co-defendants, can be severed from Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbrough's trials, which have been scheduled to happen October 23rd. What did Elon Musk have to say when a reporter recently asked him, will AI kill us all?
There's some chance that above zero that AI will kill us all. I think it's low, but there's some chance. I think we should also consider the fragility of human civilization. And if you study history, I think you realize that there's a rise and fall to every civilization. Every civilization has a lifespan. And we want us to last as long as possible.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160. It's Mark with you.
Jay. Indian.
And, yeah, calling in and talking about whatever you want to talk about. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. And we're talking about an article. A report put out by
page report.
Granite State Matters.
It's more like commentary.
About the dangers of the Free State Project and how it's destroying the democracy here in New Hampshire. At least it's a threat to the democracy. Mm-hmm. And you know, a little dash of racism, a little shake of Nazis, you know, a pinch of fear, whatever you need in order to...
This lady's a Nazi, based on a definition of a Nazi. You know, she wants to concentrate power into the majority, and when the majority, you know, is like, oh, we don't like people because, you know, they have...
She finds a minority, points it out,
yep.
Vilifies a minority, and then, you know, tries to get the majority to go after them and
yep.
take away their rights.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, she only wants to protect certain minorities.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's absolutely true.
Certainly not the minority of the individual.
Right. And that's the thing. Whenever anybody talks about groups, this is what I think to myself. There's an agenda, because people are people. And when you start getting them, grouping them together, I get it. There's certainly people that I have more similarities to than people that than other people that I don't have similarities to. But anybody who wants to claim that I'm part of this group or that group that I didn't willingly choose to be part of, that person's got an agenda. Let's go to the phones. Ian, help me out with the buttons. How do I do this?
You can either press air on the thing you were on, perfect, or you can just press the button you pressed before.
Yeah, we'll go to Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Mark, Brother Ian, Brother Jay. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I've been busy, but I don't think you covered it. I'm sure you didn't, but I'm going to talk about something that I want to explain, and I'm a little disappointed in myself. I didn't see it coming. The economic oblivion and us becoming a third world country, and I'm explaining now.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, I should have saw it coming. Everybody remembers that Thursday morning when we found out that Saudi Arabia and also, Saudi Arabia and Egypt entered into BRICS. Now, here's how this goes.
I don't think everybody remembers that.
Well, Saudi Arabia and Egypt are in BRICS.
Brother Ian.
I do remember talking about that BRICS has added now 6 new members, and Saudi Arabia and Egypt were part of that.
And good for those
countries. That's going to come into play, too. So here's how this goes. It goes back. And I'm going to explain people's roles in this with the UK, you know, leaving the EU, quote, to protect the pound sterling. Now, see, I was talking about the mother of all wars. That's going to come into play of this, too. Now, what happened is you have an unholy alliance. You got China, you got Russia, you got Iran, you know, and now you have Saudi Arabia and you have Egypt. Now, here's how this works. Now, you got China. They use the most oil in the world. Now, we're number 2. Now, then you got, you got Russia. Now, they're a smaller oil-producing country. Okay? And now, what happened here is this has been a plan all along. Now, it was in July. That's when they announced that they're going to use a gold-backed currency. Now, I didn't take it seriously.
No, they didn't. It was like the Russian embassy in Kenya or something like that made that announcement, and it was walked back immediately afterwards, and that never got any discussion at the BRICS summit. That's not to say it couldn't happen or that it won't happen. It's just right now they're trying to act like it didn't.
Well, here's why.
So maybe the Russian ambassador to Kenya wants to commit suicide.
Well, it's all about timing. You see, here's why. Because here's what I see happening. I'm going to make a prediction based on this. And how is Iran's role in this? Because they just hate us. See, what's going to happen is oil prices are going to... See, we lost because of our game.
I don't know if the people of Iran hate me. I don't think they know who I am. I mean, I'm not going to go out.
Well, but
that.
Here's the thing. What happened is, you see...
I don't hate them.
With our game we've been playing in Israel, see, once... When I talked about
what are you doing in Israel?
controlling the Middle East. Well, we just lost that as a result of Saudi Arabia and Egypt joining BRICS because we just now lost control of the Middle East. Because we don't have – Israel's of no importance anymore.
When you say you're talking about the U.S. federal government, because I'm not involved in any of this. I just want to make it clear.
Well,
I know that, Brother.
Yeah. So we just lost that.
I don't think
that.
Anyone in this room is involved in that.
So the U.S. just lost that
power.
I know,
but you know what? We are a reflection of our federal government.
No.
The way the world sees it.
That's not true. I think most people know there's a difference between the people calling themselves a government and the people that are ruled over by that government. There's a huge difference between the Israeli government and the people of Israel.
Israelis. Yeah.
I wonder if this Russian war gets really hot, this U.S. proxy war they're doing through Ukraine right now. I wonder if Russian soldiers will come here and liberate us from the federal government.
Well, here's the best part, okay? Now that this happened, see, we just lost control of the Middle East as far as oil. So what's going to happen now is I'm saying by July of 2026. What's going to happen is oil prices are going to go sky high beyond belief. But it's going to get worse than that. That gold-backed currency is going to happen. And what's going to happen is, as a result, the dollar is going to go right down the tubes by winter. And it's even going to be worse
than
that.
Wow. That's a true prediction. When somebody will give you a buy win, like a thing that's going to happen and a buy win.
Can you turn him down while you're talking there, Mark? I don't know if you can hear all that roaring in the background, but whenever it is we're talking, there's a bunch of noise coming from him.
Talk back. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Go ahead, Ricky.
Well, as what's going to happen is by winter of 2026, the dollar's going to fall, and we're not going to be able to do trade because, no, they don't need to trade with us. That gold-backed currency is going to happen. And what's going to happen, they're not going to need to do trade with us. We're not going to, it's going to be a cold winter, and it's going to be worse than that because we will go into economic oblivion going into the following year. You know, in, I meant 2025. I'm sorry, July of 2025. It's going to hit.
So, what makes you pick these dates? July 2025 is when I want to be out of the U.S.
Yeah, prices will go sky high, and then what's going to happen is that by winter 2025, the dollar will fall.
Okay,
and
winter 2025.
Our money's going to be worthless, so we're not going to be able to pay our workers. Not only that, we're not going to be able to do trade anymore either because nobody's going to need to do trade of us within BRICS. BRICS is going to control everything. And why are they doing this to us? Because of what our government has done. Now, there's only one little hitch into this. Now, we have no use for Israel, but this is going to be for timing and play. We still got to explain to the Christians and all these other people why we backed Israel, you know. But here's the thing. You got the Palestinians. Now, they, a couple years back, have been...
Can you hold on a second there, Ricky? So I just want to say, Mark, that I think that Ricky's probably correct generally as far as... BRICS is going to become more influential.
Okay.
They're adding more countries.
It could. I would caution everybody here. Remember the whole Japan's going to take over America. You know, they're just too good a businessman and, you know, everything's, you know, American
cars. Well, turns out Japan hasn't been having many babies, so they're not.
I understand. Well, demographics matter greatly. Yeah. I'm just saying that armchair quarterbacking by populist pundits is rarely correct. Please,
China and India are not having problems. Oh, well, China is, but India is not having a problem with reproducing.
No, India's going to be a new power, that's for sure.
India just passed 1 billion people. They, I believe, were expected to surpass China this summer. I think that may have happened already as far as population is concerned. These are mega influential countries, and they are part of BRICS, okay?
China and India are part of BRICS?
Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and now you add six more to that, including, as he pointed out, Saudi Arabia, which is a huge oil producer, and then some other nations.
I find it difficult to believe that China and India are going to get along very well, considering they're basically in a small-scale war.
What do you mean?
I've told you about this on multiple occasions, and you seem to like to forget about it. There is a border dispute that... involves bloodshed going on between China and India. China is expanding its territory step by step, mile by mile, against all of its neighbors. Mm. India is pushing back. The rest of its neighbors can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if China continues, which they're likely, if they're going to go into this organization with BRICS or whatever, if they see value in it, they're not going to push against India. But, hey, you know, just it... India doesn't like China much.
Okay. Well, I don't know what all the inner circle stuff might be or whatever, but they've been in this alliance for some amount of time. It's an economic alliance. Whether they end up going to war with one another is a whole other question. But regardless, it currently does account for about 40% of the world's population and about 25% of global
GDP. Population matters. China's got a real demographics problem. Because of its one-child policy, it has a lot of older and retiring people. And
yeah, they're not at
India's not going to want to support that.
No doubt. Regardless, there's still a lot of money involved here. There's a lot of GDP behind this group, and that was before they added Argentina, Egypt, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates to their little club.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Ricky is probably right that BRICS is going to become more influential.
Yep.
I think that you're going to see they already have a significant chunk of the world's oil-producing nations now under BRICS, presuming these countries are accepted in. I don't think, like, the ceremony has happened yet. They've been told, okay, you can come in. Like, they asked to come in, and now they've been told you can come in, but it's probably not a done deal yet, but that's happening. And so you are going to see what you've already seen is some of the BRICS nations are now trading within their own currencies.
Yep.
So this gold-backed currency is this sort of pie-in-the-sky idea that may or may not transpire. If it does, it will damage the dollar for sure. But for right now, the way they're doing damage to the dollar is they're saying, well, now you can trade oil for yen. Now you can trade, or yuan. Now you can trade oil for whatever the hell, you know, the real in Brazil, etc.
These countries are also, like Russia and China, there's clear evidence of doing damage to our culture. So with Russia, you've had, you know, back in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s, you had the Russian commies coming over and infiltrating all the academia, mm-hmm. and infiltrating the schools. You know, Bernie Sanders was, you know, you even have some influence on this somehow. Then,
well, now they're not even hiding.
Well, right, yeah. And now they're just right out there, you know, with all their, you know, transgender, whatever garbage and nonsense that they're pushing on these kids. And then you have, for example, TikTok. I had a little interaction with some kids a few weeks ago, and one of the moms is like, wow, your two-year-old speaks so well, and like totally blowing her 4 and her 6-year-old away, my 2-year-old in sort of speech. And I says, well, if you you don't vaccinate them, you don't let them eat, you know, a bunch of sugar and junk food, you don't let them watch TV, and you don't put them in daycare, it's just, they're just going to thrive. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, she's like, I've done all those things. And I can pick out these kids that have the TikTok attention span. When I was doing man camp at Pork Fest this year, there was a young man who basically I had to just get him back on track, like every minute and a half, you know. And there's actually some video footage of this. I'm not going to release it, but I watched it, and I was like, wow, you know, the kid. It's actually the only video I got is like the one that I can't use as a promo from Pork Fest because the poor kid, he had a TikTok attention span. And I said to his parent, I said, hey, he goes, well, what do you think of my boy? And I says, well, he's got a TikTok attention span. And he goes, he just looks at me with a blank look in his face, and I said, you let him use internet devices? He goes, yeah, we've been trying to get him off it, and it's really hard.
Well, what does that have to do with BRICS?
So the cultural warfare that's been coming against the United States from Russia for decades ago, that's, you know, influencing academia now, and then the whole, like, we're using TikTok, for example, to essentially destroy the minds of these young children because so many parents are just letting their kids.
Yeah, but kids in Russia and China are surely addicted to their devices too.
Absolutely. It's a problem.
I can tell you this is last year, China graduated 10 times the engineers as the United States did.
Okay, I believe that. Yeah.
You can't fight a war without engineers.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that what you don't need to fight a war, gender studies graduates.
Mm, sure.
Bartenders.
Right. And so my good friend, Michael from Russia, who left Russia like in 1992, you know, during a lot of the collapse, you know, him and I talk a lot, and he basically explained to me how, you know, China's goal is multi-generational. They're like planning this war has been, you know, happening for generations, and they're continuing it for generations, multi-generational warfare. And part of it is using things like TikTok, influencing things like the media. Like, you know, you have the Chinese have bought, you know, all these, you know, hundreds of thousands of American politicians and stuff, you know, the like crazy, you know, amounts like that. Their influence is huge.
But they didn't buy them all. Some of them they used really sexy spies for.
Sure.
Let me go ahead and go to the phones here. I'm going to thank Ricky for his insights, and I'm going to go to David calling in here. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I wanted to call in. I usually listen to the podcast. I've been listening for a long time. And I know Ian was talking about how you don't get a lot of new callers, and I've never called in. So I said, all right, I'm going to call in.
Thanks,
Ian. But I've been waiting. I listen every once in a while live to see when you, Mark, and Ian are in the studio at the same time, because I feel like as a listener, you know, you feel like you know the hosts, right? Because you care so much about them, even though I've never met you guys. I have met a few hosts, not far from New Hampshire, but I wanted to ask you two, like all of the great callers over the years, you feel like you get to know them. You know, like I remember there was the guy who used to call Barack Obama the animal, the Filipino guy.
Barack Obama the animal.
What's his name, Ricky?
Ralph?
Oh, Ralph. Ralph.
Ralph. Yes. I wish he'd come back for Biden, because I wish he, you know, hear what he had to think about that.
The vegetable.
and then like the one that really got me was the guy who was a bigot and hated Jewish people,
and then
his parents died, and he found out that he was Jewish. And I wonder, like, do you guys wonder, as hosts, like, what happened to these people? Because as a listener, like, I always wonder about some of those great old chronic callers. Like, right. What happened to them, and where are they now?
Free Talk Live has been on the air for 20 years, and some of these people that were calling in 15 years ago weren't spring chickens. We've lost a lot of callers. You know, maybe they had a stroke. I remember Paula with her fax machine.
I'm
faxing the president. She was faxing the White House or whatever. You know,
she did have a stroke, apparently. That's what we heard through one of the call screeners.
Yeah, on GCN, our syndicate.
Yeah.
And Gene, the Christian anarchist. We know he died of COVID.
Yep.
And there was the guy that, Walt, that lived at the junkyard.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, he just sounded like a sergeant. And anyway, there have been many throughout the years. Was there a question? I can't remember. Was it like our favorite or something?
No, I was just wondering if you ever sit there and wonder. Like,
I do. I think about them all the time.
Calling them out would, you know, calling them out would summon them. It'd be awesome if some of them would call back.
Every now and then they'll call back. I mean, Ricky, who we just were on the phone
with. Sarah was gone for a couple of years.
Yeah, Ricky was gone for 5 years and then came back.
We haven't heard Dave from Poughkeepsie in a while.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
I remember that guy.
He was very interesting. I liked him.
Yeah, he was a great one.
And, yeah, I think the answer to that is sure. Free Talk Live's been, I mean, there were many, over a decade that Ian and I did this show 6 nights a week. What is that? 18 hours a week. And then we did it as our full-time job. So we put in 40 hours during the day and then 20 hours in the night each week. And sure, absolutely. This is Free Talk Live is a major part of my life. And I think about the callers all the time. And I thank you for having called in and brought some of it up, David.
Yeah, I even wonder about some of the old hosts, like Dr. Stephanie. I remember her.
Yeah, she
just
got married.
Asked about her the other day.
What's that?
I was just asking you about her the other day, if she's still in New Hampshire.
As I understand it, she is. I mean, I can reach out to her.
Because I know her and her husband are no longer together. So did she get remarried?
She wasn't married to Brian.
Oh, really? I thought they got married.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
No, she got married. To my knowledge, she has been married one time, and that marriage continues on.
Okay, that's nice. Didn't even know about that.
Yeah. And
yeah, I always really liked her. Visit with her at Porkfest and stuff over the years. And
last I knew, she was with Brian Sovereign, and they were living up in the Upper Valley, and then somehow they broke up, and that was the end.
They're actually two of the hosts I met at Liberty Forum at the Silver Circle screening. And in
Neat.
Okay.
Yeah, the Silver Circle was a movie, and it was about, the underground money, and I think it's well worth, go search for it. It's pretty cool.
Definitely worth watching it. Yeah, it still applies today. Everything still applies.
Yeah, things have changed, but the underlying premises remain the same. David, thank you for the call, and please call in again. Loved it. I guess when I think about other hosts, we saw Gardner Goldsmith at your sentencing.
It's so cool to have him come out to
would-be sentencing. Yeah,
nice
great
to see
guy.
Gardner Goldsmith. So are we continuing here, Mark?
Yeah, please, get 5 minutes.
All right, so we were sharing with you a report or portions of a report about how liberty is replacing democracy in New Hampshire. And this is a fear-mongering report. This is written by people who hate liberty. They want you to understand or believe that liberty is dangerous. It's scary, and democracy is safe and good. And so that's what this is getting into here. And this is, of course, an attack on the Free State Project, which is the major thrust as to why they're saying liberty is being replaced by liberty is replacing democracy. And so they bring up the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and they say that the Porcupine Freedom Festival is proof that people need rules, and they cite the fact that some people were naked at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and there has been some controversy about that within the liberty community. In fact, there's a fairly large dust-up between different factions.
It wouldn't matter if it was at a public library and it was done by a drag queen.
Yeah, or a parade where you got these old guys, you know, grinding, on children, and children are giving them dollar bills and stuff. There's footage of that in these, you know, rainbow pride, whatever parade things, and in places all over the country.
Well,
you know,
I mean, we're talking about apples and oranges here. I mean,
oh no, we're talking about Democrats and duplicity. You may or may not like whatever goes on at pride parades, mm-hmm. and I know that you're a big outreach as far as that goes. But what I'm saying is that this woman wouldn't care if that kind of behavior was going on at a pride parade.
She does care
that it's going on at Pork Fest, because that's what she cares about, is destroying Pork Fest, not anything else.
That's not even, what's going on at Pride Parade is not going on at Pork Fest.
No. That's why I was saying there's apples and oranges. I mean, at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, there is a nudist community, but they are not doing grinding.
Not
or, yeah, there's no sexuality associated with it. That said, there are certain
They are
Democrats.
Somewhat evangelical in so much as you can see them wandering around. You know, they're trying to convince people that this is a good thing. And I figure that humans wear clothes because clothes are good. You're less likely to get a sunburn, less likely to burn a part that while you're cooking, you know, things like that.
Sure. I don't know, Mark. I think you're generally right about the Democrats, but I have encountered some of them that seem very, very anti-nudity, very, very conservative sort of sounding Democrats, as far as they are losing it over the idea of somebody being naked at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And I just don't think all
Democrats
would be that
way. That's because it's the Porcupine Freedom Festival. If you can talk to them about, like, this is how you test their stuff, is ask them what they think about, the drag queen story hours. Ask them what they think about the pride parades. They don't care about nudity so long as it's coupled with deviance. Heterosexual nudity, there's a problem.
All right. Well, I don't know about that, because most of the people who are, well, I don't want to say most of them, a good chunk of the nudists at the Porcupine Freedom Festival are gay men. So, I mean.
Great.
Yeah. I think that there is a. I think it's likely that you could talk to Democrats and find some who are totally fine with nudism, no matter who does it, and some people who are very, very upset about the idea of it. There are very sort of socially conservative Democrats from what I've seen so far. But anyway, democracy, she says, would say that a majority vote decides the rules. Then all attendees must comply. Liberty first means that the individual's right to choose has priority. If seeing a naked person bothers you, it's your job to stay away from naked people. If your neighbor turns his property...
Don't go to Pork Fest!
That would be staying away from them. If your neighbor turns his property into a garbage dump or a firing range or a brothel, he is free to do so. If a factory owner stores hazardous waste...
Not if bullets come across my property line. Hold that, Ian. I want to get into it here a bit more. 603-283-6160. It's 603-283-6160 here on Free Talk Live.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? Law enforcement? And many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.